As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him!" So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Ah, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. He chose a colt, not a warhorse. And that right there really explains everything else about that fateful Holy Week 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. The fate of Israel, God's chosen people, hung in the balance along with the fate of all humanity. And Jesus chose to ride a colt. See, what happened on that Palm Sunday was a royal processional. Garments and palm branches spread on the road so that the entering king would not have to ride over dirt and mud. It was a first century red carpet, if you will. Hosanna, that word that was used, it was a cry of salvation, a shout for God's deliverance to come now. And in case we had any doubt, the people are welcoming Jesus as the one who comes in the name of the Lord, who brings the kingdom of David. See, this was a royal procession, the king entering his holy capital city. And they would have understood this in the first century. This was a common visual and acted out language, but with one difference. The king doesn't ride a donkey or a colt. The king rides a mighty horse, a war horse. See, that's how the royal parade works. The conquering king enters the city with a display of military power. But not Jesus. Jesus chose a colt. And that explains everything that happens in our passion reading today. The betrayal, the rejection, the torture and the humiliation. The sham trial and execution. It all comes from choosing the colt over the warhorse. If you want to know why the Romans mocked him, why Pilate couldn't get him, why the chief priests opposed him and the crowd turned on him, it's because he chose a colt. Why? It's a sign of peace. Jesus doesn't enter Jerusalem at the head of a military column. He is welcomed as king. But if we remember back from Christmas, this king is also the Prince of Peace. He comes in gentleness and mercy. And so the Roman soldiers had to mock him. What kind of king is going to rule with love instead of force? What kind of leader cares about the weak instead of the strong? In the same way, Pilate couldn't understand him. "Won't you defend yourself?" he asks him. See, Pilate knows it's a power play by the chief priests and the Pharisees. Pilate understands that political game all too well, and he can't understand, why won't Jesus play along? Why won't he use the politics to his advantage? He's obviously got influence. Why not use it? Pilate can't imagine a person having power and not using it for his own gain. The chief priests, the religious authorities, why did they reject him? Too much forgiveness. Can't have that. They didn't want the unclean healed. They wanted them excluded. They didn't want sinners redeemed. They wanted sinners shamed and denounced. Now, a mighty warrior can do that, separating the righteous from the unrighteous. But a Messiah riding a colt brings too much grace. That'll lead to chaos, you know. And so it is with the crowds. This was not the Messiah they were longing for. They wanted a powerful general to destroy the Roman legions occupying them. I mean, sure, Barabbas may have been guilty, but at least he had killed some soldiers. That's what's going to save us. Now, before we sit here with the benefit of hindsight and get too proud that we know so much better than they did, are we not looking for those same kinds of saving as they were? Aren't we deathly afraid of how we'll be treated if we don't stand up forcefully? Wouldn't we rather dump our pain on someone else than deal with it ourselves? Don't we, like Pilate, know what it's like to play the games of power and position? Maybe it's our money or our reputation or whatever, but we know how to take advantage for ourselves over the other guy. Now, we may label the undesirables differently than the Pharisees. Oh, but we've got undesirables. We've got folks that we don't want to see get forgiven. Are we like the crowds? Well, let me ask this. How many of us have been tempted to ditch the path of Jesus when God's plans haven't matched our plans? Now, we shouldn't be too proud on this Palm Sunday. We should find ourselves right there in the crowd, which is why we have the congregation read those parts. But we should also have our hearts open for news that is good and glorious and gracious. Because, you see, Jesus did choose the colt. This one who wouldn't kill his enemies, who refused to play the power game, who would not condemn others, and who chose the path of suffering love. This Messiah that nobody was looking for, he truly is the one and only Son of God. He chose the colt. And he chose the cross. Because even though we are not always looking for the kind of salvation that he offers, he loves you too much to ever even think of abandoning you. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is indeed creation's long-desired king. But unlike every other kingdom, every other empire, his kingdom is founded by love, mercy, and healing. It is not born in conquest, but in a suffering death. And so Christ's passion is not a tragedy. It's a victory. And it is a victory won for each and every one of you. Jesus chose the colt, he chose the cross, and he did it to save us. To save you. To save the world. His death sets you free from sin's power. His seeming defeat robs the grave of all its might. Jesus died for you. And now he calls you to follow him on the way of the colt and of the cross, the way of peace of suffering, the way of mercy and reconciliation and love. That is his kingdom. The world will scorn it, laugh at it, deny it. But truly, this is the Son of God. And his kingdom cannot be broken. May we follow him faithfully. Amen.